Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents a Coors Light. Fill your cup Friday with Clint Sterner and the show.
Well, hell, we better start filling them up now, Dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's a burning question, and it is, where in the hell is Jim Harden and Russell Westbrook? Where? Where? Why? Hey. Why in the world the entire Houston Rockets team has taken the flight to dangerous Orlando except for Jim Harden and Russ Westbrook?
Yeah, look, we talked about yesterday, man, and they were departing at 5 p.m. yesterday, and the question was, does everybody get on the plane?
Was that a question?
No, I mean, I said it tongue in cheek yesterday. I was like, hey, man, are all the seats filled? Particularly the first class seats are the ones I'm worried about. And I'll be damned if two of the first class seats were vacant and the two biggest names on the Rockets were not on that airplane.
Hell, everybody could have just stayed home if those two ain't getting
What's the point of going down there, right? What's the point?
Listen, Clint, I don't know about you. I think a lot of people could think negatively. I choose not to. I'm having a good day, baby. My family's here. Everybody's here. I'm in a positive mood. So I'm thinking positively. There is no negativity. I'm not gonna let myself think something bad happened. This has to be in some form of good, Clint.
You're a better man than me.
That's where I am. That's
You're
what
a better
I'm thinking.
Man than me. We're in the middle of COVID-19 and ain't everybody been quiet as a church mouse about this COVID-19 and how it's impacted players, and all of a sudden the Rockets take off and two of them ain't on. I can't help but think that something's going on.
Yep.
I don't want to expect the worst. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to bring you down, man. You're at a high right now. I don't want to bring you down. But the way I look at it is, until I'm told differently, you got to believe that if you weren't on that plane heading to Orlando at 5 p.m. yesterday after not doing a damn thing for 4 months, you got to think there's a reason. You got to think there's a damn good reason why you wasn't on that plane.
Yeah, there's a reason. Yeah. And I choose to think a positive reason.
Oh, okay.
Well, You're a better man than me. And I know Tillman Fertitta, the owner of the Rockets. Listen, these are just alleged statements and thoughts in my mind because I choose to think positive because we don't know nothing. We ain't got no answers to nothing. We just know they didn't make the flight. And it's just left for us to speculate. Tillman Fertitta loves his guys, takes care of his guys. He knows those two guys are the guys that are going to lead him to the promised land, and I think he just threw him one last hurrah.
Just one last get down. Y'all we're going the rest of the team's going to shoot down to Orlando on Thursday. Y'all take old Thursday. Thursday night might be the best. That might be because the weekend The weekend ain't hit yet where everybody's off and everything's overcrowded. And if you're James Harden and Russell Westbrook, you can't even go to the grocery store on a Friday or Saturday. Thursday nights are the best. Baby.
And listen, Tillman saying, Russ, we know you're a workaholic. We know your ass has been in the gym and whatever doing it. And James, you've lost 38 pounds, allegedly.
I hope that's due to working out.
Check that. Jim, you've lost 38 pounds. You've worked You're my two guys. You're going to show me.
Is it allegedly 38 pounds or did you just throw it out there?
It feels like the number's growing.
38's a big number.
I heard 25, but it just keeps growing every time. But you got put into work. I'm going to throw you run last one. I think he threw those two guys a personal party, having a good – I choose to think positively. I believe he took care of his guys, Clint.
He's going to shoot him a PJ, down to Orlando in a couple days?
Yep.
Just be there by Saturday practice?
Yeah. Now, he'll be with them because I believe he enjoyed too. But
so
I've
you
just,
believe Tillman Fertitta's with Westbrook and Harden just kicking
this
it?
Is I choose to think positively.
Okay. Fair.
And I think it's a one last
I like
down.
This show. I like this
one
positive
last,
show.
One last lick your lips nasty. All the good food, all the drinks, champagne, whatever they wanted. That's where I choose to believe.
Well, look here. I mean, hell, it sounds like the bubble's going to be one big party. Hell, we discussed it yesterday. I mean, we talked at length yesterday that damn NBA bubble is going to be the best road trip these cats have ever experienced, man. Manicures, pedicures, massage therapists, barbers, private chefs, restaurants, list of restaurants up and down the damn page that they can order food from. I mean, they're going to go from one big last hurrah in the city of Houston with the owner, Tillman Fertitta, down to Orlando to Bubble City, the bubble party.
But Tillman can throw a different one.
Yeah, it's good.
Tillman can throw. He ain't got to dip and fight off others for these security guards.
I've been over to the old Nugget over in Lake Charles a few times. There ain't no doubt Fertitta knows how to throw one now.
And I'm telling you, that's where I choose. Some others may think negative. I'm looking at the text line. We got some negative folks. Some people in here thinking negatively. That's fine. You can go there. I'm going in a positive manner. I'm believing Tillman took care of his guys. One last woo! Jim, Russ. Have at it.
Have at it, boys. On me.
That's right. Bring your family. Have a good time.
Look here. You better
and
than
I
me, boss.
That's where I am. That's where I am. Shoot. So I don't know where Russ is. I don't know where Jim Harden is. I don't know why they weren't on the flight. But all we have to do is speculate. Some are going to the left. Me, I'm going to the right and having a good-ass time.
You're just wishing you were in that party with him. You're just mad because you didn't get an invite.
My wife's in the city.
Oh, that's right. Courtney and the kids came back one day too early, didn't they?
I bet he got some good food. Yeah.
Oh,
I bet
he
got some good food and drinks.
Ain't no
I bet
doubt.
He got some good food and drinks. There's another part to this Clint Sterner in the show. Like, I am so annoyed when I read this about P.J. Tucker. What's up with your boy, P.J. Tucker? You see this, Clint?
Uh-uh.
Now, listen, man, I know you like shoes. I like shoes. There's some people who are real shoe collectors out there. Mind you, they are going to Orlando to just play basketball. Hell, they don't even get to see nobody else except for the people that are down there for at least a month plus. But they can't go nowhere. They can't even go to the amusement park. They can't go anywhere. P.J. Tucker, Clint's taking 60 pair of shoes down.
60. I mean, my first thought there is, well, I mean, he does play in. It's not just down there to kick around the streets or kick around the bubble. I mean, it's he does play in different shoes pretty
60
often.
Of them?
I don't know that he needs 60 of them. That may be a little bit excessive.
What do you think? How do you think these 60 are separated? How many? You think he's going down with dress shoes? Because to me, you don't need no dress shoes. What you need some dress shoes for? I believe he's taking some nice ass dress shoes. But what do you need those for? Where are you going?
No, he's taking 10 sneakers.
You think it's all 60?
I think all 60 of them are sneakers.
Well, that's stupid too. Where are you headed? Is he about to just get cleaned
he got
up?
A, he got a problem.
To go get to the manicure? I understand. Not just that. No, Clint, I understand he got a problem. He loved buying shoes.
Okay.
Okay, I get that. But you're not going. Where are you going? Where you get to wear these shoes? Now you just wasted.
Hotel lobby.
Yeah, what was that? Chilling in the lobby.
What
Damn.
Was that?
Back yeah, that's to, that's the 40th the, pair of shoes.
Back to the hotel back in the day.
That's the 40th pair of shoes, PJ.
Yeah, I know he's a shoe freak. And
60?
Yeah, I just can't. I don't know. Why. How do you pack 60 pair of shoes?
That's a great question. And I'm telling you, I just packed some shoes moving out here. I took a big-ass tote, and I know I didn't have 60. Hell, I ain't got 60. I've never seen 60.
I bet you 40 plus of them were already in the facility in the Toyota Center, and they had them big duffel bags, and he told them equipment guy, hey, man, y'all put them on the charter plane going out there and make sure they're in my locker and in the facility out there.
And then the other 20 just came from him.
The other 20 probably in his duffel bag, in his own, he in better his own
not,
private.
He better not have any dress shoes. I just don't.
I would be surprised if one of the 60 was a pair of dress shoes.
I think five of them are.
Really?
I just think I don't know. I get the sense now.
Where's he going?
I don't know. I don't know where he's going with 60, Clint. At one, I gotta have 60. I gotta have, like, to me, is he dressing up in his room? And just, look at me.
Maybe they got some TV stuff they're doing. Maybe if he's got some suits and some nice shoes, they got some TV stuff they're doing. He got to get ready for the ESPN, the TNT.
These football players can't even exchange jerseys. They better not be allowing them to do TV stuff afterwards. What is this, Zoom call?
That's
Zoom
a good stuff? Point. No, I think they'll let some of the media in. They'll let select media, especially this is an opportunity for the teams individually to have their own. You know, golly, you talk about an opportunity for them to blow up their website and any kind of channels that they have in terms of whether it's social media or YouTube or anything. Boy, this is a real chance for the team to have their personnel controlling that, and the only way you get content, like continuous content from the teams, is if it's through their Twitter accounts and Instagrams and Facebooks and YouTubes.
And his shoes gotta be right.
They gotta be on it.
From the text line, PJ has to look good for the camera. But what? Why? But why in this setting? What is he?
I mean, yeah, you think 8 regular season games.
Just.
I mean, that's one. That's
come on, how
that's,
many times does PJ get interviewed?
That's more than one pair of shoes. Well, even if he's playing in them, that's more than one pair of shoes per game.
Oh yes, and come on, man, I know basketball players don't like just switching.
He pair switches of shoes. Quite a bit. He switches. Sometimes he switches at halftime. Yeah.
Oh god.
He switches quite a bit.
I remember Jordan. We watched the Jordan documentary. And he bled when he wore some shoes. His feet bled when he wore those.
Oh, I thought you were talking about PJ Tucker. I was like, did I miss an episode?
No. Like Michael Jordan, his feet were bleeding.
When he tried to go back to the ones.
And he's about to go back and check. You break these puppies. He's just switching it. That much, though, 60 pair of shoes. How many suitcases is that? As you said, maybe he had duffel bags.
There is no doubt it's duffel bags with the team.
If he's taking 60, how many are the others taking? Like, how many is... James is not there.
Well, no, I tell you what James is doing. James is telling Adidas to, hey, man, shoot me 20 pairs for the first week, and then you keep them coming. James is on a different level in terms of shoe. I think PJ's probably paying for his own. PJ's paying for his own. I'm pretty sure Harden ain't paying. Harden ain't even paying the shipping on his shoes.
No, I ain't paying nothing.
Harden's getting Adidas to drop them joints off in the bubble.
I just can't understand it. I just like, PJ, like, come on, dog. Like, to me, I if you were a professional athlete and you played ball, I feel like 20 pair would be excessive for this event. I feel like 20 different pair of shoes would be over the top.
Well, that would be over the top if you weren't, if it doesn't include game shoes. Like, I think 40 plus of those are game shoes.
Like, 40.
Yeah, dude changes at halftime sometimes.
It's just him. It's him with that, with the amount of shoes he goes.
Yeah, he's the only one I know that like has a problem where he takes 60 pairs to the bubble. Because I mean, like I said, if you had any problems, you could just have Adidas or Nike or whoever drop you Under Armour, drop you a package with 10 pairs in them if you needed them. This is definitely a fashion statement. Plays in them.
I think I like this on the text line. Someone said, I think P.J. Tucker's just the type of person that just has to have all his stuff with him at one time.
Yeah. I can relate to the shoe deal. I got a shoe problem as well, but not 60 on a trip. I took probably 6 to the river that last weekend on the 4th.
You took 6?
I took 6, probably 6 pair of shoes.
And how many days?
3 days. Come on.
Well, you know what? You were proposing.
Yeah, but I was barefooted when I proposed. Yeah,
but you had a lot on your mind. You got to take it off.
Well, that's I don't know why I always take my icy white ones. Right, you always got to have them. I take a pair to work out in. I take these Nike Air Max that I got right now. They went with me just because they got a little different color in them. So I mean, I'm a shoe whore. I just not quite 60 pair of.
I double up draws. That's the only thing I do.
Draw.
If whatever trip
you double up t-shirts too. Yeah,
whatever trip I'm going on, I take the double amount. Yeah,
that's
of
probably safe. That tells me you're
just two a day.
You pulling the. Ooh, I thought it was a poot trick a lot.
Listen, Justin Verlander, who was sensational yesterday in his first outing, he said something yesterday that caught us all off guard. We'll get into that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents a Coors Light Fill Your Cup Friday with Clint Stern and the show.
Well, for the first time out, I mean, it's just a tribute to them and how they've been working. Verlander had 40 pitches. He was really sharp. McCullers was sharp. You know, they were good. I mean, they were real good. And boy, I mean, they looked, they looked pretty good.
That is your do everything himself, fly commercial, do his own laundry manager, Dusty Baker, speaking about how good the ace of the staff was yesterday. And just another day to think about it. I know during the show you were watching him strike out Alex Bregman, who returned yesterday. We talked about, I know I spoke a lot about McCullers yesterday, just being impressed that the team felt comfortable let him throw that many pitches. But Justin Verlander, now you look at it against the lineup he faced, basically the real lineup except for Yordan Alvarez, he was something special to make you think this dude might have this Cy Young-like stuff again this year.
Yeah, look, I mean, Dusty talked about Justin Verlander being a workhorse and Justin Verlander having good command of his pitches. And I would think at this point in time, show that a pitcher of that caliber having that kind of command and location on all of his pitches, he's going to be way ahead of hitters, right? I mean, hitters are already behind because of the time and the timing and seeing the pitch. I mean, I can't remember who we heard talk the other day, but one of the players said, hell, it looks like it's coming at you at 300 miles an hour right now.
Yeah.
So obviously all pitching is ahead of the hitters, and a guy Verlander's caliber is obviously well ahead of hitters right now. The crazy thing about Verlander is coming off of all the surgeries, the lat strain, the groin surgery. That to me is it's awfully impressive. You don't want to sit here and talk about COVID-19 and the time that they've had off as a positive in any way, shape, or form. But there's no doubt about it that it gave Verlander an opportunity to not only fix his body, but to adjust some things to where he can last longer, where it's not as painful per pitch. For him to work. And so definitely a big-time outing. And you know, you look at it and you go, I expected him to be good. It's Justin Verlander. But no hits, no walks, five strikeouts. I mean, come on, man. Against that lineup, it was impressive.
No, and I mean, and I think you do take into account, like, I think Justin even said it, like the pitchers are ahead of the hitters right now. The pitchers are ahead of it, but still, man. It's Justin Verlander, like you said, and him and Clayton Kershaw, I believe, are the best pitchers of this generation. But it is still Justin Verlander coming off of the groin issue and surgery, the lat problem, and this is the first time he's really faced, you know, serious hitters like this. And we had Adam Spolane yesterday on. He said he looked like he was in mid-season form coming off of that stuff. So I think it's even more impressive given his age and how quickly he's been able to respond and recover to those injuries.
Yeah, the age thing is interesting. I mean, 36, 37 years old, you wonder how much he's got left in the tank. And, I look at it, man, and around here in Houston, I think when you talk about the great pitchers, I mean, obviously there's several of them, but a couple of them that really stick out, Nolan Ryan and J.R. Richards back in the day. And Nolan Ryan was a guy that pitched. Both of those guys were dominant, but Nolan Ryan was able to do it into his mid-40s, damn near 45, 46 years old. Maybe was it 46?
46 when he let it go.
44 years old, threw a no-hitter. 46 years old is when he retired. So when you look at it, and you don't ever want to compare anybody to one of the all-time greats, but there's no doubt about it. Verlander is one of the current greats. He's a future Hall of Famer, and he's a guy that,
appears to be, you know, when you watch him pitch at 36, 37 years old, appears to be a guy that's got a lot left in the tank and can go for a while.
Well, he's trying to make sure that he has a lot left into the tank. He's really been talkative, and I'll let him say it himself. He's really been talkative about how he's rebuilt his mechanics for more longevity. And as he gets into that, at the tail end of this, Clint, listen to what he says, because it caught me the hell off guard.
After I had the surgery, Dr. Myers said the groin was pretty beat up in there, and it looked like it had been pretty unhealthy for a while. So kind of a light bulb went off for myself. So I looked at this as an opportunity to get better. And so I went through a full rebuild process, working on getting my mechanics where I wanted them. I changed a lot of stuff that you know, some people would think it was unnecessary, but I thought it was necessary, especially if I want to play 8-10 more years.
Hmm. 8 or 10 more, huh?
A couple of things in there. First, I've never actually ever heard it being put said in a phrase of the groin was beat up.
Groin was pretty beat up in there.
Never heard that before.
Well,
the groin was, because I've had moments, now that he said it, where my groin was pretty beat up.
Have you?
Yes.
Back in the day? Old D-line, whenever the old line were cutting
you? Yeah, that's it. That's weird. That's weird. But I'd never seen it put together. But he's changing his mechanics. He's preparing to pitch 8 to 10 more years is what Justin Verlander. How old is Verlander? He's 30. He's 37.
Yeah, he's going to pitch 45, 46
years
old.
I'm not a bad, great counter, but that's 46, 47 years old.
Yeah. Yeah, look, that's what, when I watch him pitch, though, show, it's such an, and that, not according to what he said, is that, you know, within that mechanics conversation, it was a little bit longer than what we just played for you. You know, he said that he was mechanically putting some pretty intense strain on his body in how he was delivering the baseball. And so when I hear that, when I was watching, I'm like, man, looks like it's effortless. I mean, you're winning a Cy Young in an effortless fashion. I mean, there's guys out there that are coming off the mound and their hats are falling off their head. They're jerking their upper body so hard. It's just his effortless, smooth action appeared to me to be one that he would be able to pitch into his 40s. According to what we heard from him, is he's having to tweak a lot of those mechanics, a lot of things. It's more like a chain reaction where he's tweaking one thing and it actually adjusts accordingly. His body adjusts accordingly. But nonetheless, he's doing it so that it's easier on his body and that he can pitch into his mid-40s. And so, I looked at him. I've always thought he's a guy that's ageless. I always thought he was a guy that was going to pitch longer than most guys simply because of his delivery. It's good to hear that he's adjusting it even more to make it, I guess, not as rough on his body and not as violent of emotion to where he can pitch longer.
Clint Sterner in the show here with you, 713-572-4610. Do you think Justin Verlander can pitch another 8 to 10 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do. Yeah, I mean, I definitely. Hell, he's 37 and he just won a Cy Young. Do I think he can go another 8 to 10?
We don't see that a lot. We don't see a lot of up into the late 40s like
no,
that.
No, well, there's not a lot of Justin Verlanders walking around. I mean, you talk about Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan threw 3 no-hitters after the age of 40. And I mean, so he's a guy that – and obviously, there's Nolan Ryans aren't walking in the door every day, but I think it's safe to say we can have a conversation about Justin Verlander and mention Nolan Ryan at this point. I'm not saying he's going to go throw no-hitters, but I do believe that he's a guy that effortlessly pitches the baseball and effortlessly pitches at an extremely high level. And so I could see him playing into his 40s. So real quick, I want to hit this, man. The one thing that stuck out to me about Verlander speaking to the media yesterday and in terms of where we sit right now is this right here.
Do you think that you can build up to 90 or 100 pitches by opening day?
100? I think I can have the ability to throw that many in opening day. I don't think I'll be able to throw that many before then.
Come on. That's all I care about. I hope he plays 8 to 10 more years, Show. But ultimately, this year, when they kick this thing off.
In Seattle, you want him getting out 100 pitches.
If he can go 90 to 100, feels good about it, yes, sir. That's what I want right there.
Because, yeah, he only threw about 40, 43 pitches.
Yep.
And he's probably building up. And they don't want to probably overdo it with the Latin groin. Yeah, that's a good place to shoot it at. But I do think they want to be smart with him and not overdo him because they're going to need him throughout. Here on the text line, 713-572-4610. Absolutely. Justin uses his legs to help him pitch, not as much as his arm. It's not as violent as you were talking about. Listen, okay, I'll go with you. Justin, can he pitch another 8 to 10 years, as he's saying? Sure. I'll just say this. Justin better not be throwing 97 when he's 47.
Why not?
Then I'll be inclined to wonder. And baseball has made it this way. I'd be inclined to wonder. Hold on, man. My man's 47. He's still 10 years later, still throwing 97 miles an hour. Oh, no. He's throwing 90, 91. That'd be realistic to me, baby. That's right, JB. If you still throwing 98 in here at 47 years old.
Just, hey, look here.
I'm going to be wondering.
Just make sure he's doing it in an Astros uniform. How about that?
The next 10 years? Yeah, man, if you throw a 97, I got some questions. All right, coming up, no one has worked and been around your quarterback, Deshaun Watson, more than his quarterback, Coach Quincy Avery. He will join us, and we'll get the latest on where Deshaun is in the offseason.
Sports Radio 610 presents A Coors Light. Fill your cup Friday with Clint Stern and the show.
That's right. It is a Fill Your Cup Up Friday. Coors Light Fill Your Cup Up Friday. And what better way, Clint? I know you two are about to
come on.
Fall in love. You love talking quarterback play. And we got the quarterback coach of your quarterback, Deshaun Watson. Quincy Avery is with us. Quincy, thanks for joining us, man. And I'm just curious, with everything that has happened in the offseason and how different an offseason this has been, how would you say Deshaun Watson has been able to be able to get his work in and improve and take the next steps that he needs to take during this strange offseason?
What's going on, fellas? Yeah, in terms of that, it's been a more than a strange offseason, but I think Deshaun has done as good a job as anybody in terms of using this time to really step up his game and step up his preparation in terms of being prepared for next year, having a greater knowledge of a playbook that he already had a really good understanding of, then taking some time out to understand what defenses have done against him in the previous seasons. Not only that, what were they successful at doing, and then how can he adapt to those things? And then he started to get back on the field with his receivers, so now he can start passing that information along. Hey, this is what the Colts did last year on third down. It gave us a little bit of trouble, but here's how we're going to beat it, doing this, 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 and this. So he's been I couldn't be more proud of how he's taken the time out during what has been a difficult situation and used it to his benefit.
Quincy, how do you and Deshaun both, because, I mean, obviously y'all are joined at the hip this time of year and in these types of situations, how do you handle the scrutiny that comes along with just a group throwing session? This is obviously a weird time that we're in that none of us have ever experienced, but Brady is getting beat to death for getting his guys together and throwing in Tampa. I'm sure Deshaun is catching some heat from one direction or another. I'm sure you're catching a little heat from one direction or the other. How do you guys handle and manage and decide when's the right time, when's the wrong time, or do you just go to work as usual?
Now, Deshaun and all the guys who came out there taking COVID tests, like, we've done all the necessary steps that we could do to be as safe as possible. And then we did our thing at that point. Like, we measured the risk. He decided that it made sense. And at that point in time, it's on us to get the work in. And you really can't spend that much time thinking about what other people think. You don't want to become a sum of their thoughts. You do need to be safe and trying to protect guys as well. But you also got to understand that you're the face of a billion-dollar corporation. And when they roll those footballs out there on Sunday, if he's not performing at a high level, after you get a big contract, no one's going to be talking about the fact that no one wanted to work out when they're going to have you guys on the field with the same exact situation.
Mm. Quincy Avery, quarterback coach with Deshaun Watson. Now, you said he's been working out with his guys. I'm curious from your perspective, there's been some new weapons that have been placed for Deshaun to work with. From your standpoint, who do you think is probably the most important piece they've added that can really help Deshaun take his game to the next level?
And they've added so many guys. I think they've done a really good job. Randall Cobb's going to be great in the slot. I think Cooks does some dynamic things in terms of his speed, route running. He's so smooth and he's so disciplined in terms of the route running, things like that. And I'm going to be interested to see what David Johnson does, being able to not only be in the backfield, but being able to split out wide and put some real stress on folks in terms of putting them in some binds and making them do some things in coverage and create really difficult situations in terms of personnel for defenses. Like, what personnel do we get in when they come out in two backs and they're both tailbacks? So it's going to be really cool. All the pieces work together really, really well. So more than one guy, I think that it's great that he has them as a collection.
What about Randall Cobb in particular, Quincy? I mean, you're an old quarterback. I'm an old quarterback. I played with a guy named Michael Williams at Arkansas, and his nickname was Silk because he was my man was smooth. The routes were off the charts. I knew exactly where he was going to be. He saw blitzes before I saw blitzes. He settled in voids that I saw as a quarterback that most receivers don't see. I mean, that I don't think people understand how special, really, or let's put it this way, how detrimental it is for a quarterback to not have that guy. And let's talk about it in a sense of Deshaun Watson is going to have Randall Cobb. And any way you slice it, he is one of the better slots in the league. That's got to be a security blanket. What are you guys talking about in terms of Randall Cobb and having that true, legit, established slot receiver in the NFL?
Well, Clint, you know this as well as anybody. The ability to have confidence when you go out there and line up is probably the most important skill that you can have as a quarterback. And knowing that you have a guy who's going to be in the right spots at the right time, who sees the things, just like you were talking about, who can find the holes in the defense, who's going to throttle down in that zone coverage and not run to the next defender, he has that confidence in that guy, so it's going to allow him to play not only fast, but play with anticipation. And I think that people are going to see a new level of Deshaun when he's able to play with with guys who can do just that, provide him with the confidence they can throw the ball early and on time, and they're going to be exactly where they need to be when you throw it.
Yeah, that's just an absolute game changer. When you think about those guys, Quincy, Show and I talk about it a lot here, is it's time for Deshaun to take the next step in terms of what I call taking the organization, take the bull by the horns and take the next step, almost force it into taking that next step. He's been in the league. He's gotten used to the guys that are around him. And it's really his turn to just take the bull by the horns. Do you see that's something that Deshaun does sooner rather than later with the Texans?
Yeah, I think that it's time. He understands the league. He understands the situation he's in. He understands exactly what it is that is needed and expected of him as a quarterback. And he understands how to be a leader. He's continued to mature throughout his time here. He's as mature as ever, and I think he knows the responsibilities that he has. And not only that, but he has a confidence. That's really the main thing. Like, he had the confidence of a young guy who was super talented before. Now he has the confidence of knowing exactly what he needs to be doing, exactly when he needs to do it, and how he's going to get it done, and just the confidence of being a professional for the last 3 years. So it's time for him to take the Texas organization to the next level and make everybody come to his level of preparation and his level of play.
Quincy Avery, quarterback coach, is live with us here on Sports Radio 610. I'm curious from you, and I think a lot of people are wondering this, now in coming up in year four for Deshaun, he's got a new play caller, a new person designing new person calling the plays offensively. Any way potentially there are new things that we see from Deshaun this year, or will we potentially see him just doing similar things and him just improving in that?
It's going to be interesting to see exactly how that plays out. Kelly was involved tremendously in the day-to-day game plan, all those things during the week. But he's also going to be the guy in the quarterback room with Deshaun now. So as a head coach, it's a little bit harder to have that the same relationship. When you're in the room with the guy every day, you can watch film with him every single day. So I just think that seeing things together, play caller, a benefit to everybody, like just understanding what he's trying to do, why he's trying to do it. So I think that it's going to allow him to take the next steps in terms of being a quarterback and being successful.
Quincy, what do you think in terms, not what do you think, hell, I know you know. I mean, what with Deshaun, I mean, I was a guy that I reached a certain point in my career where I just said, hey, coach, this is what I'm super comfortable doing. Let's do more of it. Is that something that Deshaun feels comfortable doing? Because I think a lot of us watch him and you go, man, he's a laid-back dude that's like, hey, just call the plays and I can go out and do really anything you ask me to do. But at this point, do you see him, you know, graduating, so to speak, and developing to a guy that's like, no, this is my bread and butter. I know I need to work on a lot of things, but this is my bread and butter, and this is where I need to live in the NFL the majority of the time, and being vocal about those things. Is that fair? Is that accurate to say that's part of that next step?
Yeah, I think you hit it on the head. Deshaun's one of the coolest, most laid-back guys that you can find. But just like we were talking about earlier, those steps towards maturity and understanding like the responsibilities that you now have, now it's imperative for him to have those conversations. Hey, guys, this is what I want to do, and this is when we should do it. And more dictating the situation. And I think that when you become that franchise quarterback, when you do the things that he's done throughout the last 3 years, it gives him the confidence to go into those rooms and let those guys know this is exactly what I want to get done and this is how we should do it. And it forces them to listen.
Love it. I absolutely love it. Hey, man, look, we got to ask you about one thing that's gone on since last time we talked to you. Obviously, Pat Mahomes signs this monster deal that some people like, some people dislike. I mean, I think any way you slice it up, it's a hell of a deal for the Chiefs. I think it's a hell of a deal for Pat Mahomes. What is that? How does that impact Deshaun Watson? We all know that he's up next. If he's not, if Dak doesn't get something done, then Deshaun will, vice versa. At some point in time, those two guys are going to get something done. They're next in line. Do you see him? Do you hear conversations about that, or is it business as usual?
We're taking this business as usual. Of course, everybody sees the contract that Mahomes got and you pay attention to it. Probably a lot different than the structure people are anticipating, and it's different than even the structure we thought would have happened as we saw it. So it's the operation for us is to keep working business as usual. But I think it would be silly to say people aren't paying attention or aware of what's going on in the quarterback market. Deshaun getting ready to head into that year four. And as we know, that's a big contract year for quarterbacks getting ready to head into this thing.
When you say you were surprised by the structure, what do you mean? What do you mean by that?
The 10 years, really. I mean, I think it shocked everybody, but it was definitely shocking to people who are really in the quarterback market and understand the value of it. And they also are thinking about the value of a quarterback moving forward in the next 4 to 5 years and just how the market's going to continue to be shaped by bigger TV deals and things of that nature. So that was the part that was kind of shocking to a lot of people.
What do you think, Quincy? I mean, when you look at what the Kansas City Chiefs have and just digging into your quarterback mind, thinking about what the Chiefs have right now with Pat Mahomes, I think it's easy for everybody to sit around and see how great Pat Mahomes is. And I think it's very easy for everybody to sit around and fall in love with the plays that he makes. And a lot like Lamar Jackson, a lot like Deshaun Watson, it's easy to fall in love with the sexy, explosive, Superman-type plays and go, man, this guy should make a ton of money. In reality, the chemistry that he has with that organization and the respect and trust that is present between Pat Mahomes, his representation, the Chiefs front office, and the Chiefs coaching staff. I mean, ultimately, that's what allows them and allows Pat Mahomes to feel comfortable going into that situation. And that's a pretty rare situation, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, when you got a situation like he has, he's connected with Andy Reid. They see things the same way. Andy Reid's a play caller. And at every step, I think the Chiefs have done things that have put Pat in a position to be very, very successful. Like, you can have the ultimate level of trust that an organization is doing the things in a way that's going to be beneficial to you and your career. I think that's one of the things that allows you to make a 10-year decision or a 10-year contract like that. It still was shocking to me, no matter what level of trust you have in the head coach or GM or whoever else is involved. 10 years is just a lot of time, and it's really a 12-year contract. And people understand, like, the way contracts are really structured in the NFL. So it's just a good bit of time to tie yourself down to one organization and not be able to hit the market.
Quincy, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us, and hope you have a really good weekend.
Man, I truly appreciate you guys having me.
All right, that's Quincy Avery, quarterback coach.
Yeah, go to QB Takeover as well. That's what his quarterback training business is QB Takeover. He works here in Houston some, Atlanta some, North Carolina some, obviously out in Arizona, travels all over the place, one of the best in the business.
Now, you know you have to calm me down sometimes.
Well, what happened?
I get myself giddy sometimes.
What happened?
But he really went in depth about David Johnson and what David Johnson could mean. Do you think that's something that they are, like, Deshaun is looking at a lot?
Yeah.
Like, what we could do. What did he say specifically? The two back sets lined up as
two tailbacks, and then being able to use them, put them out at the receiver position. I actually saw, and some of that is funny, I was watching that Kyler Murray stuff I told you about Thursday, I guess. I was watching it Wednesday night, and several of Kyler Murray's really, really good throws were to David Johnson, and they were downfield to David Johnson. And you realize real quick how special this guy is in the receiving game. I mean, his just the natural ability to catch a ball with his hands on the back shoulder or above his eyes or below his knees. I mean, he's really, really talented. He's more talented than a lot of receivers out there at the NFL level in terms of catching the ball. So, yeah, it doesn't surprise me, though, Show. When you look at what Deshaun Watson, like, what's different, what should be different going into 2020 versus what we saw in 2019 is you've got two running backs that, regardless of which one is in the game, you have the freedom at any point in time to use any formation that's in your playbook. You should be able to move that guy outside, you know, to the short side of the field, to the boundary, or to the wide side of the field, out to the numbers. You should be able to motion him across, move him, line him up in the slot. You should be able to line him up 1 yard outside, 1 yard off the line of scrimmage of the tight end, and really create some different surfaces there up front on the offense. And so there's no doubt, and that's not a surprise, that Deshaun is looking at this offseason as, I've got to get used to multiple formations. And even more than just multiple, like, formations that include my backs moving a lot. A lot of offenses just don't move their backs out. Like last year, you didn't see Carlos Hyde out spread out very often. I mean, he did, but he was a decoy.
No, like, I mean, he wasn't serious.
Yeah, it was a decoy. But they weren't lining him up out there and throwing the ball. And when they did, it was they didn't do it very often. But with this guy, they'll do it often. They should get creative with it, and then he should be the number one target if defenses try to cover him a certain way. So no surprise that Deshaun's he's working on
that was
those aspects.
That was intriguing to me, talking about the matchups that they can set up. He said, yeah, Brandon Cooks can be dynamic. He said it'll be great to have Cobb in the slot, but he just went and broke down different things that they could do with the running back position. And I'm like, I wonder, has this been something they've been working on? I wonder, is this something that they are really paying some extra to try to be maybe potentially something we see a lot more in this offense with the Texans? That was intriguing to me.
I really like that. I really like the slot receiver. I think that the Randall Cobb stuff, man, and him, and Quincy's an old quarterback, so I didn't want to let him just kind of glance over the importance of a really good slot. Like, that's why I doubled down on it. But, I mean, to me, that's just such a game changer. I mean, it's a game changer for an experienced quarterback. Like I say, experienced, I mean, like a Drew Brees or a Tom Brady or an Aaron Rodgers. I can only imagine what the difference it will be for Deshaun Watson to all of a sudden go, damn, this aspect of play, of throwing the football, of our pass game with the Houston Texans, if I'm talking as Deshaun Watson, the aspect of the slot receiver being a weapon, being a guy that can pinpoint blitzes, pinpoint pressures, pinpoint voids, or maybe even shades of a guy lining up over the top of him, which will then allow Deshaun Watson to process things so much faster and at a such higher level, we just don't talk about those things. And you think back to last year and you go, man, Kiki QT was the guy going in, and he couldn't even stay out of – I mean, he couldn't stay out of Bill O'Brien's doghouse over the details of the game. To think that you're going from that situation to a Randall Cobb situation, that is just something that, you know, I know it's important. I think it's important, but we just don't talk about it enough.
You'll love this one. You're not going to get me down. I'm positive today, baby, from the text line 713. Why are y'all so excited about a QB coach and what he says about positions that ain't his specialty? He's working with the quarterback of the team every day.
Yeah.
Who is also
which is
working.
Enough. It don't even matter. We don't matter what anybody thinks of him. He is on the field with Deshaun Watson on a daily basis for
who
hours.
Who also has the other players that he's working out with that are going.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. Like, what in the hell do you think? I mean, who do you want to talk to?
What? I'm staying positive. Tyler, don't talk. I'm staying positive. Not ready yet. Not ready for Tyler to talk yet. Coming up, the biggest stories you need to know, the big three coming up.
Hold on, so.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.